For we kick off a couple of series for us in our time together. And so we are so excited. As pastor for many years, if you're new here, has filled in here as our interim pastor for a season. And now we are thankful for your friendship and your partnership in the gospel. And so, accustomed to having guest preachers, I'm going to ask you to extend a hand towards Pastor Dave. And I'm going to pray for him one more time that God may give us. Or you may come up, Pastor Dave, get yourself ready. And we are excited for what God has for you. Let's pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the gift of freely being able to worship you, to proclaim your name today. Lord, as we quiet our hearts now to hear from you, this is still worship, Lord. This is your word coming forth to change our lives, that we may learn of it, that we may live it, that we may walk in you. So, Lord, use Pastor David today, give him clarity of thought, precision of speech. May his words encourage us, and may they be your words. Bless him and keep him, Lord, I pray, he and his bride, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Pastor David, look forward to having you today.
Well, it's good to be with you all. Am I working here? Are we good? We're on? Okay. You have a great congregation. You know that? We really love you. We're going to try to be here more often now. Everybody needs a home, you know? So we're going to be back more often. We decided not to take another interim, at least for now. We've turned two down. Now, that sounds really noble, but one of them was in Oklahoma. And the other one was in the backyard of the Detroit Lions. And so forget that, you know, forget that. I want to, you know, pastors have this thing that they try to make sure people stay awake in the service. That's a real goal, you know. So here's the device to help you do that today. Here, let's do this. Put your hand up. Everybody, you got to participate. I'm looking. Come on. And then you go like this. What is that? I didn't realize it, but it actually, you make a T that stands for time out. Now, here's your part. Anytime you hear me intentionally or accidentally slip out the word time out, you go, time out. Say it out loud. Let's practice. You could come at any time. Time out. Very good. Because with today, we are talking about time out. We are talking about time out. Yes, that's right. So what do we use that for? What is that all about? Well, coaches, of course, and we'll be seeing a lot in the new football season, use timeouts regularly. You got to stay with it. Why do they use that expression? What is the reason? Give me some reasons. Stop the game. Why do they want to stop the game? They feel like they need time. They want to. They read a play and they want to reset their people, or the nasty one, they want to ice the kicker. So there's a number of reasons that you use timeout. A parent. We know about that one, don't we? When our kids are exasperating us and we know that we've got to punish them somehow, we say, okay, Johnny, it's time for a timeout. And why do we do that? To stop them, to make them realize there's consequences, to slow things down. I've been in a room talking to families or couples in a couple of times, and things are getting really intense. I mean, really intense. I can remember one where I thought, we're going to have a fist fight here. And I just put my hands up and went, time out. Why did I do that? To slow things down, to make people realize, hey, we gotta think about what we're saying here and what we're doing. There are reasons for that. Well, so as we turn, this is going somewhere. As we turn to 1 Kings 17 today, we are looking at God giving a great man who's doing wonderful things for him a timeout. Okay, here we go. So, let's look at the text. A little background. 1 Kings 17, 1 to 6. It's really the story of 17 through 19 is really a biography of the life of Elijah. And he's a spokesman for God. He's a prophet. which means he's trained in the Old Testament scriptures. He speaks with authority for God. And as you can see on the map up there, he's in this very remote place. See, way up here in Tishbe and the Kerith Ravine. And he's been pushed away from the central point. Now see, Jerusalem's way down here. And so he's suddenly taken out of the center of action, and he's done something really significant. But let's get a little bit more context here. Let's back up one chapter. 1 Kings chapter 16, it's terrible times in Israel. Awful, because they've had a series of bad kings. Well, let's go to the next screen there, and if you can see this, there's actually this chart. You know, you had the first three kings, Saul, David, Solomon, and then you have the division of the kingdom. Rehoboam gets a part of the kingdom. That's Solomon's son. And then Jeroboam. And Jeroboam's all bad. In fact, all the kings on this side, which is the northern kingdoms, are bad. I'll show you a chart of that in just a moment. Look how they're described. But you walked in the ways of Jeroboam and caused my people Israel to sin and to provoke me to anger by their sins. It's just unbelievable when you think about it. God's people, he's given them all this calling. He's given them this opportunity. And they walk away from him within a couple of generations. That, by the way, is the context for Elijah's time out. You may be saying, well, why would he be giving him a time out? He needs him. Very good. But it's 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 2. And then we go over. Let's go to the next one here. 1 Kings 16, 30. We come down to the end of the chapter. We're almost to where Elijah comes into the scene. And now we learn about Ahab. Ahab had a wife. What was her name? Jezebel. Ahab, it says, the son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. And so you've got in this long list, I know you can't read it, and there's actually 10 kings between Jeroboam and Ahab, and some of them are so insignificant or so short, they don't bother putting them in there. But you notice that every one of them are rotten. I mean, terrible. It says that he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Israel is in a mess. And there's a connection here to our world. Does anybody feel like our world is in a mess? You know, and so this passage of Scripture is really very alive. Yes, they're all bad, but there's more here. Chapter 17, now we go. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word." Well, what does Elijah do and what does he know? If you got a fill in here, next screen, and we see there that God, he knows who God is. There we are. He knows who God is as the Lord, the God lives. I'm just re-quoting that verse. He knows who he is, whom I serve. He understands that he's nothing special, but he has a God who's alive and he's serving him, and he knows what God said. And he's going to share that. There will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. So he has this message from God for the people. And in this case particularly, for Ahab. Now, Ahab was not an easy guy to deal with. You've just got a little context for him. It says in verse 2, and here's where this big time out comes in. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. This is after he's made this big confrontation of the evil king. Leave here. Turn eastward and hide. Hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and you will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens there to feed you. This seems a little odd, doesn't it? I mean, he stood up to the king. No one else is willing to do it. And all of a sudden, God is saying to Elijah, okay, time out. You are, okay, we can stop that now. You're staying away. So why? This doesn't make any sense. Why would God want him to do this? You know, maybe Elijah was saying, well, Lord, perhaps we need to rethink your plan here. Last I checked, I was the only prophet who was willing to confront the king. I'm not going to be able to help your cause out there in the wilderness. You can go to the next screen on that, by the way. You know, you can just see him saying, God, now be ready for this. I love the Raven room service. Okay, somebody tell you what that means. Public presenter is my role. I'm not really the kind of private prayer that you're looking for. We really do need to rethink your plan. I'm no good out there in this, don't do it, time out. You know, you don't need me there. Well, why? That's an important question. Why? Why would God do this? And I've got two reasons. There's probably more. But number one, for Elijah's protection. You know, I've just described briefly to you what Ahab was like. Let me give you some more. Let's back up to 1 Kings 16:30. Just listen to this. I read you the white part there. Ahab, the son of Omri. Look at the rest. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, that's going back a number of generations, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. That was nothing but pure paganism. And Jezebel, who was an evil woman, and we get her whole story and more of what Ahab tries to do in chapter 18. I encourage you to read that this week, not now. Ahab and Jezebel is really bad news. There's another reason. Not only was it for the protection of Elijah, because he has stood up to Ahab and Jezebel, who are leading the people far astray, it is also for Elijah's, really, preparation. There's more. There's more going to be happening in Elijah's life and in his confrontation with Ahab. And you see the fine print there. Let's go to the next screen. As it says, a dramatic test with Ahab is just ahead. And it will be. That's chapter 18. He's going to be confronting 850 prophets of Baal all by himself. There's going to be this dramatic calling down of fire from heaven. Many of you know that story in chapter 18. But for now, he has been called to a time out to have a break from all of that pressure and there to encounter God alone. You know, the prophets knew their scriptures well. It's most likely because Psalm 46 had been written just 100 years earlier under the reign of David by the generations of Korah, that he knew very well Psalm 46:10. Many of you know it. Read it with me there. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sorry, it looks like it got cut off there. He knew this. He knew that that was very much a principle of what it meant to follow God. But let me give you just a little bit more. Just listen to this of Psalm 46:1. It starts this way. God is our refuge. The strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Was Elijah facing a time of great trouble? Yes, he was. That's chapter 16. It was a very dark time for him to be a leader in Israel. And I hope that we all can gain some sense of identification with that to understand that it's a difficult time right now to be a true Christ follower, isn't it? Our world, our culture is not going the right direction for that. The text says, therefore, we will not fear, again, this is Psalm 46, Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake from their surging. And the whole psalm is devoted to explaining this real intense time that's going on. But it ends with that verse that many of us have memorized, be still. In the midst of all of that, be still and know that I am God. That he was in Elijah's life, and he's in yours, and he's in mine. Hard times would come for David when Psalm 46 was written, for Elijah, and at times they would be for us. Well, what's Elijah's response here? Commendably, it's a good response. Look at verse 5 now. It says, and so he did what the Lord had told him. Good for you, Elijah. He went to the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. How long? We don't know. Probably months. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. That's where he got the raving good room service. But here he has a time out. What is a time out? Let me define it. And you can write this one down. I didn't really leave you space. Just put it in there somewhere. Time out. A break from the pressures of life to encounter God. It's not just a vacation. It's not just taking it easy. It's a break from the pressures of life. Anybody got pressures here? You feel any pressures in your life? I think all of us do. A real time out is a break from the pressures of life, but it's purposive. It's to encounter God. And that is exactly what Elijah has happened. Elijah's time out would make a major difference in his life. In just the verses that follow that, he'll be doing a miracle. And then in chapter 18, this public display where he stands up to all the evil prophets of the day and calls them down and calls down fire from heaven. It's really quite a story. And there's humor in that story, too. You've got to see that story. Please read it this week. But it's also really a picture not just of Elijah. It's a picture of our greatest model of all times, Jesus. What did Jesus do? You know, there was nobody that had more important things to accomplish than Jesus. But the text says in Luke 5:16, and it's referenced in the book of Mark in a couple of different places, it says, but Jesus, hello, what's it say? Often. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus intentionally chose time out. And Jesus is our model to follow, right? So if he did that, that's something that we want to do. Okay, let's move to application now. I'm going to ask you to do something about this. I'm calling it practical applications for the fall of 2026. You know, we're moving into a time of transition in the backwash of summer here, and now many are planning their fall, and kids are back to school.
Amen.
It's time. it's time, really, for us as adults and teens and young adults to really have a plan ahead to make sure that in our life we practice what Jesus did and we practice what is modeled to us in the life of this great prophet of God who is doing very significant things for God. Here it is, number one. This is not going to be particularly profound, but again, the issue is not on what you know, it's what you're doing. There's often a big difference for us in the faith. We often are so educated beyond our experiences in our Christian lives. I know that's my experience. And the real crux of the matter is what are you doing in your life with these truths that you know? And so I'm saying to us, as a response to follow through with 1 Kings 17, to follow through the model of Jesus, let's simply, every day, do an intentional, okay, you can do it, time out. What would that look like? Well, let's talk about it for a moment. But first, the sinner's prayer is on the screen. You know, there may be somebody here today who doesn't really know Christ in a personal way. And I'm not suggesting to you that the answer to your life is rest or meditation or whatever. Those things are good. But you've got to get it right at your soul level and come to faith in Christ and trust Him as Lord. That sinner's prayer is there. It's also in your notes. And if you haven't crossed that line, I encourage you today. Well, more of that. Hey, I want to show you a picture. Let's go to this picture. This was taken in June. This is our family together. I just have to share our picture of our grandchildren. And here we are. Here's our two sons and their wives and our daughter over here. Her name is Marge. What are you laughing at down there? Does anybody see a problem here? Oh, by the way, this was for our 50th wedding anniversary. We took the kids, we went to Grand Canyon. Now, some of you are saying, no, wait a minute, you can't be married 50 years. Myrna was 12 years old when we got married. You're not saying that to me, I get it, it's okay. So, what's the story here? Well, the story is really quite simple. Marge, here, let's go to the next screen there. Marge doesn't exist. Marge is manufactured, adaptable relative generated electronically. I sent the picture to AI, the chat, and I said, would you give us a 40-year-old daughter? Boom! 5 minutes, there she is. David, where are you going with this besides showing off your family? Well, you know, I think the world today is very, very deceptive. You know, we are being told, of course, what AI is doing, and it's creating all of these fake images, and there's all kinds of fakery in social media, of course, and in the real news. And I believe the devil is really playing us. You know, in fact, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about it. Let me get to it in a moment. But first, I did this with Chad. I said, Chad, summarize for me what people in America feel today. Now, I know you can't trust ChatGPT for a lot of stuff, but sometimes when you get just a summary of something, here's what Chad told us about ourselves. Life can feel incredibly busy. Just listen to this. It's not going to be on the screen. Juggling work, family, house tasks, technology, social commitment, and the pressure not to miss anything. Our smartphones keep us connected 24/7 while endless texts, emails, posts, chats, and social media keep us from thinking about what needs to be done, or keep us thinking about what needs to be done next. Anybody feel that? Many people feel like they're always rushing and rarely have time to slow down and enjoy the people and the moments that matter the most. Well, that I thought Chad actually was pretty profound about that. I think that's what people do feel. We are being told many lies in all about us, whether it's peers, whether it's media, whether it's AI or whatever. And I think of 1 Peter 5:8. Let's go to that verse. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert. And of sober mind. You know, can we go to that screen? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Uh-oh. The devil did that, apparently. Let me say it again to you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I think that for that reason, we really do need to keep ourselves spiritually centered. And where I'm going with this is that I believe that every day, an intentional timeout. Let's see if we get the next screen. There it is. Every day, to do an intentional timeout is going to help us deal with our world. Now, again, I understand this is pretty basic stuff, but the real question is, are you doing it? Because it's so easy to know what we should do and yet not do what we really should do. Hey, anybody recognize this picture? I took it this week. Star of Rock, very good. This is the ravine close to us, I guess, you know. And, by the way, you got to watch out for things at Star of Rock these days. The next screen there. Can we go to the next screen? There are bandits all along the path there. I thought you'd enjoy that. No, a few weeks ago, Tay and the kids were over to our house for, we have this family tradition with our grandchildren called Cowboy Supper, where everybody puts on cowboy hats and we eat out of tin pans and we serve gourmet baked beans and hot dogs, the food of cowboys, you know. And your son was kind enough to pose for that. He's not really a bandit. He's a wonderful kid. In fact, I want to say this. Tay, your pastor, is a wonderful father. We have watched him in action many times. Tay, I really want to affirm you in front of everybody. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you take care of those kids and care for this flock. And God's hand is on you, and we all pray for you. And the message here to all of you, us, is to say, let's support this guy. Let's stand behind him. He's got a full cup. Three little kids. Any consolation, in 10 years, they'll all be teenagers. It's so much easier then. Every day. What about you? Let's come back to this. Are you having an intentional timeout in your life? Are you following what the Scripture teaches you? Are you following Jesus? Are you following the example of Elijah? Every day, do a time out. And it is hard. It's very hard. In fact, I'm going to put a quote up here. Let's go to that quote. I feel this one. It's from Philip Yancey's book, Prayer. Oh, doggone it, it looks like it went down again. Well, for some reason it's doing that, but let me read it to you. As he tells us of his own journey of really living out the disciplines of faith, things like taking time to pray and having time out, he writes, by nature, I resist techniques. You know, this is a technique in essence, especially those related to spiritual disciplines. I would prefer to keep my relationship with God impromptu. The problem is every time I proceed down such an idealistic path, God gets pushed to the side. I'm afraid that happens. It happens to me. Maybe it happens to you. That's why, next screen here, let's see if it comes up. I've given you the tap. This is something that we emphasized to you last year, the idea of just taking time. You know, this is often a way to get your time out on task here, to have a plan for reading the Scripture. And if you've got another plan, you know, if you're ambitious in reading through the Bible in this year, good for you. Go for it. Stay with that. I don't want you to stop that. But if you don't have a plan, and here's the criteria, what did you do these last 2 weeks? Did you read your Bible every day for a little bit and get some message out of it? And this is a very simple, it can be done in literally 10 minutes a day, and it's a plan to bring the Word of God into your life. I encourage you to do it. Yes, there's great power in these timeouts. Here was an illustration that came upon me this week. We went to fiber optics for our internet, and the AT&T installer was out there and explaining this, what he was doing, and I said, can I have a piece of your wire? This is a fiber optic cable. They just installed this at our house. Now think about this. All of, literally, this PowerPoint traveled from our house to here on this fiber optic, and it just took a nanosecond to do it. Now you're thinking, well, that's a pretty small piece of wire. It is. Well, it's even more. Can you see this little wire in the middle here, this little white wire? That's the wire. This is just a sheath. This is just a protector. It's literally, you know, when we watched a movie last night, it was coming over this wire. But it's even more, less than that. You see this part hanging down here? You can see in that white sheath, here's the actual fiber wire. It's not much. Can you see it dangling there? It's really not much thicker than a hair, if you have hair. You know, it's very, very small. And yet, through that fiber optic hair wire travels all of the internet that we take advantage of, all the movies. Extremely small. What's the point, David? You know, our commitment to connect with God, to have the timeouts, really is a very small part of our day. But man, is there power packed in it if we'll just take advantage of it and do it consistently. And that is my pitch to you today, that you would have those timeouts in your life. Okay, ready for, here's number two. So we got an every day, and now we got an every week. Add a spiritual focus to a regular habit in your life, something you're already doing. In other words, you take a walk every day. Go through the CAST prayer. You know, then there's a bunch of those out in the lobby, by the way. Or follow some format to lead you through prayer. If you're like me, sometimes you start praying, and before you realize it, you're off thinking about something else. And we need a schedule. But when you walk, or maybe here's one, walk instead of drive when you can, if you can walk to the grocery store, Mary and I do this, or you can walk to the library if it's close enough, walk instead of drive. And use that time for an intentional connection with God. Or ride your bike. Or here's one that Maren and I do several times a week. When we exercise, when we go to the Park District Health Club, we bring our Bibles online and we listen to YouTube. And that becomes a very good input for taking Scripture in often. Or when you commute to work, you know, you can listen to the Bible instead of to talk radio. When you commute to work, it'll do better for you. Or this is what I call pre-TV time. Before you turn on the news, or before you turn on that program you just want to watch every week or every night, say to yourself, the TV doesn't go on until I sit here and read my Bible for 10 minutes. You know, you're tying something that you already do to a habit that's really a good. Or how about this one? Part of your lunch hour. Eat your lunch and then go outside and walk. Works great this time of year. Or here's one that I've done a number of times. When you're shaving or you're brushing your teeth, have a memorized scripture there. Just print it on your mirror. And as you're doing that, keep learning that scripture. And it'll take a number of times, but then you get it down. and you know it. And you're actually having a time out time with God in the scripture, even while you brush your teeth or shave or whatever. Now, as we get older, many of us have this one. Sitting in waiting rooms. Doesn't it feel like the older you get, the more time you spend going to the doctor? And you sit out in waiting rooms. Use that time to wait on God. Have your YouTube Bible. Have your prayer list. And intentionally use that time as you're waiting on God. So every week, try to add a spiritual focus to something that you're already doing. And when you tie it to that, it's more likely that it's going to happen. Okay, we got one more. Every month, so you got every day, every week, and every month, because this is a little bit time taker, is to take a 90-minute personal retreat. Now, you don't have to go off to a retreat center, although there's plenty of really good retreat centers all around us. I call them the forest preserves. Or to come into this sanctuary. This makes a great place for spiritual retreat. And to have that once a month. Now, I know what some of you are saying. I can't take 90 minutes off. Yes, you can. And it'll be great for you. I've learned this the hard way myself. And I just happen to have an option for you next month. That was a trick, wasn't it? Next option is next month. Sorry, the print's so small there. I don't know why your computer is. The devil must be in that computer. I don't know why it's in. But Saturday, September 12th, 9 to 10:30 at Mallard Lake Forest Preserve, which is right down in Hanover Park, off Schick Road. In fact, all of you men who are going to the men's breakfast, it's only like a half a mile away, so just come there afterwards. Every month, take a 90-minute personal retreat. For years, I would get in the car and I would go to Wayne Pratt or to this one at Mallard or different places and walk. And if you feel uncomfortable walking by yourself, sit in the car and keep the doors locked. But do something and discipline yourself to have this time with God alone at least once a month. All right, so sermon's over. Let me put them all on the screen there for you. Let's go to one more screen there. Sinner's Prayer is back on the screen if you need that. But there was the three that I suggested. Now it's decision time. Are you actually going to do anything about it? As you read the scripture, are you? And I believe that all of us, me, you, all of us, can grow in these things and need to. This is how we move forward. We pull back into line some habits that get out of line because we fall off the wagon on these things. The devil works us on these things. And we just call ourselves back to have our prayer and scripture reading, to have our time alone with God. All right, leave that on the screen. Marita's going to come up here. We thought we would lead in a closing prayer together. It is scripted, basically, because we want to make sure we stay on track here. But scripted not meaning that it's, you know, not from our hearts. It is very much from our hearts. We worked on this last night together. So let's pray. We're going to lead the congregation in a prayer together. Psalm 46:10, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Thank you, Lord, for Calvary Community Church and for the many loving people here who faithfully give of themselves to serving and loving you. Thank you for their caring attitude and for bringing them into our lives as they are such an encouragement to us.
Thank you for the good history of Calvary Community Church, the vision of some pastors, and many lay leadership over many, many years who have been faithful influencers for the gospel. Lord, they've made a difference, and we all have the privilege of the fruit of that today. Thank you for their Pastor Tay and his love for all of us.
Yes, Lord. I thank you, we thank you for the leaders who serve this church. I too thank you for Pastor Tay's desire to lead this church with prayer as his emphasis. We ask that in his busy life as a dad and as a pastor, that he can carve out time to be still and to know you, our God.
Lord, today help us all at Calvary Community Church to be a people who together and in our private daily lives are taking time out to be still and to know that you are God. Our world is full of activities. There's days of blessing. There's some hard days. And yet you are there and you are engaged in our lives, and for that we are very grateful.
Lord, we thank you for the children in our church, and we pray for them going back to school, perhaps going for the first time or in a new school this fall. We pray for our college students off to college facing many new challenges, and in their new environments, help them to carve out a time and a place to be still and to know that you are God.
Lord, please bring in many more families with children to hear the gospel here. And we pray for all these kids, whether they're elementary school or junior high or high school or college, to know the simple truth that they can pray to you about anything at any time during their day. We pray for the startup of our children's program, Awana, and its adult and teen staff of leaders to serve the children well this fall. We pray for our junior high and high school teens and for Josh and Bree and the other adult sponsors who meet with them in the youth group each week. Oh Lord, help them to have those regular timeouts in their own spiritual lives as well.
We thank you, and we pray for the adult Sunday school teachers, for Brian and Pat, as they study and lead the lessons. And for those who lead the weekly Bible study groups in this church that meet throughout the week, help them too, Lord, to have a significant time out.
Lord, and we pray for our international workers. We offer the prayer of intercession for Simon and Hannah Sue as they reach out to the storekeepers in Taiwan. Lord, such a busy place with lots of people. Help them to have opportunity for time outs.
We also pray for Brian and Nicole Silver, serving as international workers from this church as they get settled in Rome and build relationships for the gospel's sake. Help the Silvers in all their roles to have a daily encounter with you. Help them as a busy family of six to take time to be still and to know that you are God.
Lord, we say help. Help us be a people that as a church community and in our own daily lives, be those folks who take those times out to be still and to know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen.